They're just fucking shooting at people. What the fuck? What the fuck, dude? Are you guys okay? Holy fucking shit, bro. Holy fucking shit. That was something. Wow. Look at this. Look at this. What the fuck? There's another one. Fuck. Dude, that guy's right there. What is that? Fuck, dude. Some of this shit is stressing out because you can't really tell what it is.
You know, there's very few times where the show starts, and I'm also just looking at him going, what the fuck is going on in America? That is for sure American streets. Well, you look so confused, too. Yeah. Like, what was going on there?
Yo, drive-by fireworks, that was kind of badass a little bit.
Every time you're on, we always start with some nonsense, like something ridiculous that was going on. And I was watching them going, were those people a part of the firework explosion game, or were those pedestrians? Because I'm pretty sure it's like felony. That would be like felony assault. Like fireballing the public. Do we do that in America?
And I mean, you would imagine there was like some kids on the sidewalks and moms, and that was that was nuts. That looks like kind of LA style.
He looked like Portland on a Tuesday night. It's like an Antifa gathering. Dude, and the mortars too, that are exploding, it looked like a war zone.
The guy was just shooting like...
Yeah, it's like, we're celebrating the revolution. We're not having a revolution. There's like a big difference on 4th of July versus trying to recreate 1776 versus acknowledging that it happened. I swear, we're talking about January 6th still. And like, I want to talk about that. I want to know, why is that okay? And why are people in our country having war zones on our streets?
Look, I mean, and you know, we go from this on the, 4th of July, celebrating the revolution to... We literally now just shoot each other on the weekends. I think like Philadelphia had crazy shootings. Our good friend Elijah Julio Rosas of Town Hall Media, he was on the ground in Chicago and was covering all types of shootings over 4th of July. It's
dude, that was the most
brazen.
That was the most Latinx shit I've ever heard from you. You said Chicago, bro. Yeah. Right? No, you've been at the border for too long, bro. Hey, remember, you live on this side of the border, okay? You're forgetting where you're even from. You got to get back in America, bro. You got to be back in Chicago.
Yeah, no, it's good to be back here in Dallas, man. It's a great city, and we had a great 4th of July.
We did. We had a great barbecue. It was great. Only drink water, like responsible
only
adults.
Only water.
Yes, my good friend Don, my other friend Julio.
Yeah, they showed up.
Yeah, they showed up, and I just got to say, that was fun at the pool, though. We had a good time, and I'm glad that you're back. I'm glad you're safe.
Don Julio is great, man, because if you ever want to see your white friends act Mexican, you bring some Don Julio,
bro,
and they start acting Mexican in like 30 minutes.
Bro, legitimately, like, I wanted to start, like, I didn't even know. I wanted to... It's like, I was going, I felt like enraged. I was like, seriously, I was like, what is this stuff? You take one shot of it, and I was like, hey, papi.
Yeah, dude.
I'm like clicking at women and stuff.
Yeah, no, the group had fun. We actually couldn't even fit, the bottle was so big, we didn't finish it, so we added it to Elijah's nice collection right here.
For the guests, so that we can ruin another perfect show in the future where a guest gets into the Don Julio. If we ever have an episode, you find out that ended the show, it's your fault.
I'll take credit for that.
Putting Don Julio.
Don Julio.
You don't put tequila in a studio? Like, it's not
Don
a good
Julio
idea.
Will bring down Slightly Offensive. That's what's going
to
do it.
The bitches set me up. They always did. They always did. On that note, welcome back to Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV, where we always have confetti of color, 8K graphics, the kind of money that Blaze and networks bring to you on the screen. I'm Elijah Schaefer, your top 17 host, joined in the studio. Oh, you prematurely blew your load. Throw him another one. Can we give him another one?
Another one.
Here.
premature blowing loads. Yeah. I mean, that's really that's all I'm all about.
Too much Don Julio to go happy. Yeah. Now, I'm joined by in the studio with Jorge Ventura, also known as George. But now that I've had tequila, I call him Jorge.
Jorge.
Welcome back.
It's good to be
now
back.
Now blow your
good,
load.
Good to be back, blowing loads prematurely, of course. Oh, boom.
Don't forget that we also now have 4D graphics as well. Can we get actually the camera to, I've never shot my load this big of a load in Jorge's face before. Can you go and go to Jorge's camera? Let's see.
What the hell? I thought he was joking, dude. Yeah, man.
We're going to have so much fun. We got a really crazy show. We're going to talk about the border. We're going to be talking about all the shootings that happened, the transgender shootings that occurred, the violence that's increasing in our country, and of course, a lot of crazy insanity from the 4th of July. Before we jump into that, I got to give a huge shout out to a company that I actually really love, which is Public Square, also known as Public SQ. So listen to this. You guys know we're always getting canceled here by somebody. Somebody always wants to pull funding or money or demonetization because American companies, they don't love our country. They don't love freedom of speech. They don't fight for our values. And we have to change the way that the marketplace works. And there's a company that is willing to do that. See, woke corporations are seeking to divide us. Big banks, they freeze the accounts. You've seen that, Jorge, right? Where like even like J6 people, they'll freeze your accounts. If you disagree with your political views, like Chase shuts people down and our supply chain is dependent upon countries that work against our values. It's like, oh yeah, we might go to war with China over Taiwan one day. Let's make all of our companies based in China. That's smart stuff. Well, it's time for a change, and that change starts with you right now in your wallet. That's why I'm proud to partner with Public SQ, also known as Public Square, the largest freedom network of patriotic, freedom-loving businesses and consumers our nation has ever seen. What it does is the first app to connect freedom-loving Americans with local community and the businesses that share their values. Whether you want to support a restaurant that only buys from local farms, very big deal, a coffee shop that took a stand against COVID mandates, or a bank that would never cancel you for your political views, Public SQ is your guide. There's also interactive, censor-free community groups where you can connect with the local members. And here's the best part, guys. It's absolutely free to join. Just download the Public SQ app from the Apple Store or Google Play, create an account, and begin your search. You can list your business for free as well so your local community can support you. Download the app today, Public SQ. That's Public, PUBLICSQ. Public SQ, also known as Public Square. And when you join, you basically are just going to be given this. Do you have it downloaded, Jorge?
I am about to now. Yeah, dude, so
when you download it, when you download it, you'll be asked to join. You just give your email. It's very quick and join. And honestly, I love companies like that. We're trying to partner with better companies that don't abandon the show because we like those kind of companies. They're very good. Anyway, so you obviously saw, guys, it was 4th of July over the weekend. Absolutely an insane time. There was a lot of killings. I was pretty shocked because, like, it's the one day where we're supposed to be celebrating a nation. And I'm going to agree with the left here. We really do not have a gun violence problem, but we have a cultural issue.
Oh, like, yeah.
People are just angry. They are bitter. They are full of satanic energy, and they're killing each other. We don't have a gun issue because guns have always been around in this country, and people were not just killing each other left and right. I mean, look at Switzerland. I believe everybody has required to own a gun in Switzerland, yet they don't have any high gun violence. So it's not like guns cause the problems, but it's like we're seeing the most insane spike since the 1990s in violence in this country where it's not even safe to go into a city center. Like the border, who cares about the border? It's like, some people are even going over to get gas in Mexico. Like you used to think of the border being violent, but it's like, it's spread through the whole country, man. And it's kind of a scary time to even go to a city center.
It's scary because we're actually now becoming, our major cities in America are becoming third world countries. If you actually look at the homicide rate, in Central America, their major cities don't even have the homicide rates that we do in like a Chicago or a Baltimore. It's pretty sad. Like I said, one of our good friends was on the ground, covering the Chicago shootings. And on his first day on the ground, he covered 6 shootings. And the first shooting was a police officer getting shot. The next day, a Chicago police officer actually ended up killing themselves. I think we're going to start to see that more with law enforcement just giving up. But it's horrible. I don't know if you saw, Elijah, in Philadelphia, they were interviewing the mayor because 2 cops got shot in Philadelphia during the 4th of July parade. And the mayor was like, he's like, dude, I cannot wait to not be mayor, so I don't have to worry about this. And the reporter's like, wait a minute, you're looking forward to not being a mayor? He's like, oh yeah. He's like, I hate this. I was like,
dude, Philadelphia doesn't even like to be Philadelphia. Like,
oh no.
Philadelphia might be, okay, let's just rank cities here. We've been to a lot of cities. I think we've covered some riots together in Philadelphia.
That's
right?
Where you actually got assaulted, Elijah, was in Philadelphia. That's how I always remember Philadelphia, because that's where you went into the, I think it was like the 5 Below. They were like mobbing the Five Below, like
freaking young people. Yeah. They're always out of control, bro. They're running all over the city, looting things. And dude,
Philly has to be the worst, right?
My favorite part where that happened was like no reporters. Reporters that they care about you like never come to your aid of like when you get jumped or whatever. And reporters being like, well, he shouldn't have been reporting. You know what they say? Yeah. When you report in those neighborhoods, they end up taking out you for the day or whatever. And everyone's like, you just deserved it. And it's like, bro, I understand why there's things called white flight, because those neighborhoods in Philadelphia, bro, they are scary. Like, I'm not even joking. You're just walking down there and it's like, damn, I didn't know America could be this dangerous. It's actually intimidating just how bad Philadelphia and these big cities have gotten. You know that when we were there, it's like, oh my gosh.
I think, you know, people forget about the Philadelphia riots because of, you know, Kenosha, and like the eyes were always on Portland. Me and Elijah were in Philadelphia, and I would say it was probably the more, I would say, outlaw, because they were just looting everything. There were like seven straight shopping centers that were getting hit. It was
the
crazy.
Remember, they're just standing around. I was like, what are you doing? Yeah. They're like, dude, there's nothing we can really do at this point. Yeah, you gave up on the city? It's like, there's too many of them. Who's them? Right?
That's a news reporter who's been my mentor, he does like a he did a live shot in Philadelphia. As he's doing a live shot, this guy's like pulling out like three laundry mats and stuff. And like, I'm like, this is insane, dude.
Yeah, the people like, I love the police, like, drop it. Someone's just with a grocery cart full of stuff. And drop it. It's on wheels. You can't drop it. Just pushing out, getting whatever you want. I really do say, though, and I've always said this, that I actually do feel bad for looters, because when you have a chance to loot, you go to a Five Below. Probably at a very low point in life, because it's like, if you're gonna loot, do something better. Like,
go to Best Buy,
yeah,
dude.
I understand the Target, the Walmart, the Beverly Hills. Remember Santa Monica?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Hit the Gucci store.
Yeah, bro, get the Gucci, bro. Like, what do you do? Do you discount?
Go to Walmart.
Paper? I don't even want it for free. Like, even if you gave me that, you know, it's like, it's not even like Charmin Ultra. It's like called Charmita or something like that.
Yeah,
you know?
It's got like, yeah, but like the Five Below, they're like, bear. They're like assaulting Elijah for him, filming them, like, I don't know, pick up like nail clippers for free, like at Five Below. It's
like,
it was silly.
Yeah, you Five Below one ply, right? It's like the cheapest toilet paper. Why are you still in that, bro? Like, if you've got to take a dump that badly, I'll pay for it for you. But dude, I'm saying, like, that city's actually.
Get the hell out of cities,
it,
man.
It is. And look at this. So if you guys don't know, this is a serious story. There was
moved to a nice little white neighborhood. Kentucky or Kansas, where you guys have a nice little 4th of July parades. Get out of cities. And I'm saying this as a Salvadorian.
He's like, get out of cities, fool. Yeah. No, and you've seen the worst. We're going to talk about your stuff, but I do want to bring this up. So if you guys saw this over the 4th of July weekend, there was an active shooting situation at 4th of July parade in Highland Park, Illinois, aka Chicago, which leaves at least 5 dead and 16 injured. My understanding is there's 30 that have been injured at this point or were shot, and 6 have died so far. But this story is, we just wanted to give Blaze a shout out, but it's going to need to be updated, and more are expected to pass away. What's crazy about this, if you could take it off my screen here for a second, what blows my mind is, you know how we always, all of America acts like an out-of-control woman when a shooter comes. They just jump to conclusions. Everyone uses they just jump, right? Right. I love those memes where it's like, all these like birds are like jumping off the ground. It's like me and the girls jumping to conclusions. But at this shooting, no one's talking about it, and no one really wants to get into the conclusion. No one's talking about guns or anything. And the reason why we're not talking about this is because under the current definitions of what a transgender is, in our current definition, our current world climate, the shooter would be considered transgender, right? Because transgender would be somebody who assumes the other gender.
Yep.
And what's funny is they're trying very hard to explain that this is a costume. So suddenly we forgot what transgenderism is, and we're calling these costumes. This is a cross-dressing white male. I think he was white. I might be incorrect on the race, so he's a white male. He's a cross-dressing white male. And they're saying, well, he just cross-dressed like this to blend in. What do you mean blend in? Like, guys don't blend in society? What are you talking about? Like, well, he was trying to cover his tattoos. I'm like, people don't have tattoos in society?
No, it's Chicago, I'm not buying
bro.
That.
This is a cross-dressing transgender shooter that just killed people. We have transsexual terrorism happening. And I'm doing that not out of bad faith. I'm just saying, like, if we took the line of reasoning that they do, where it's like, it's a white person, so it must be a white supremacist. This is transsexual terrorism, and no one wants to admit that if we use their own reasoning. And it's scary to me that we're just throwing that under the bus. Remember, this has happened. Whenever the guy tried to kill Dave Chappelle, he got let off because he was bisexual.
And, I mean, the thing is how come anytime this situation happens, the FBI or the cops always come out and say, oh, this guy was planning this for months. Like, the same thing with planning for months. Like, then where were you? Why do we have you if you have any inaction when it comes to this stuff? So it's a same thing kind of with the Uvalde shooter. They kind of saw the signs, but never move in. you know, FBI is worthless, man. I know. F the feds.
Yeah, seriously. I don't understand this. Is,
I mean, they'll come after a Trump supporting grandma and like
Dr. Simone Gold,
Kentucky, Ohio. That might not even been at January 6th. They didn't even show up.
They came after a doctor.
They can't stop
this.
They can't stop this. All the signs were there.
Dr. Simone Gold didn't. She illegally trespassed. They gave her 2 months in prison. In prison, a doctor for giving a speech. For giving a speech in a place she wasn't allowed to give the speech. They didn't prove she committed any other crime. And the FBI spent, you know, months trying to prosecute her and officially charged and sentence her the federal courts. But you can't find a transsexual serial killer. Like, I mean, this is what it is. And it's what's crazy is that you look time and time again, the FBI has just, it's just a regime Gestapo sort of Stasi police force that does the bidding of whoever's in power. But when it comes to actually protecting the people from terrorism or protecting us, like the actual citizens, they don't actually
care. They don't do any of that. The shooter also kind of has some history of like trolling, I guess, appeared at like Trump supporting rallies in the past and things like that. They were kind of affiliated with some far left groups. So we're still waiting for more information. But FBI, all the feds. I mean, it's just completely worth it. And like I said, after every mass shooting, always come out and says, oh, the signs were there. We were following them, but they never move in. And, you know, we'll kind of wait for the full story on this. It's always, you know, it's always spotty when it comes to these mass shooting.
Yeah, I know. But the post-millennial came out and even just said that, like, the police revealed the Highland Park suspect wore woman's clothing. And I mean, that's how he looked. Why do they always look like this, too? Like, mass shooters have this, like, that looks like an inbred. You know what he looks like? He looks like a wart. You ever got a wart?
Yeah, he
does. he's literally the virus in a wart. That's what he looks like. Are warts? I don't even know because I'm not big on dermatology, but warts are a virus, right?
Man.
I think so.
we have no doctors in the studio right now. But
as the guy who only graduated third grade.
But yeah, bro, you're asking me, dude? Out of all people?
I went to the Los Angeles school system.
I don't know if I even have a social security in this country, dude. Hold on, bro.
I don't even know why I'm here. Dude, where have you been? You haven't been home in like a month.
Hey, so, I mean, is this with these guys, bro, do you think these would just stop if they just got laid? Is that a kind of a key driver in their aggression, their anger?
that's a good question. I mean, I think...
We just got to throw them some free.
Well, like, dude, this
somewhere.
Is what,
this how do we do that?
About extremism is like it's funny where I'll notice this specifically about the pretty far movement or the far right movement is you got a lot of like young, unmarried, single guys who are experts on women and like they're angry, they're bitter at women, and a lot of them just live on the internet,
right?
And so like, and they're like telling you, oh, you're not. You know, say them, say their name, say them. They don't like just want you to like shit on Jews or something like that. They're like very obsessed with that stuff. And so then they do this. And you're like, bro, have you even had a real job? Do you even know what's going on? You're sitting in your room and you're mad at internet people that you've never met because they don't share your same extremist views and they don't hate the Jews. Like, okay, fine, whatever. But these people, like, I noticed that on the left wing too. I was on the far left today. The person protected their tweets because I went down this weird rabbit hole because all the left is attacking the quartering, who's way better than all of them. They're like, they're really piling on him. And he was proving that they're like children. And I went into the far left and there's all these like catboy, femboy people. And it's like, they're the same thing. They're just bitter, angry, sexually confused people. Like they're maybe not incel. Maybe they're polyamorous and they're like they're over-sexualized. You have these like, this like common sexual dysfunction frustration on both of these extreme sides. And I really do think that like, it could be a part. And I'm not saying, I'm not blaming it, but you do find that these people have, like, they're not normal people. You don't see some guy named Rawl who decided, woke up one day and got mad because his wife burned his toast. And so then he killed, you know, six people at a parade. It's like, these are sick, demented people from the, like, when these shootings, they're always a kind of far left or far right. Like, you kind of see that as being sort of a movement and they have sexual problems. There's a lot of extremism.
I agree. I think, I'm not saying that the not having sex is like the key, driving factor, but
sexual confusion,
it plays a role.
Like frustration, something like, if you're in a healthy sexual, like marriage, like, you know what I'm saying? You don't meet like holistic Christian, God loving, just normal people with jobs that are doing stuff like this. They're like products of their environment and they're like internet people and they don't live in the real world. And then they take their dysfunction out of the internet and they bring it into society and then they kill people.
You know, what about this idea here, Elijah? Instead of red flag laws, right? Instead of having a law with, like, hey man, that person's crazy, can you go take their gun away? We should have a law. I don't know if it should be red flag, but something where we kind of see that incel, that weird person, and be like, can we contact 911 and be like, yo, dude, that person needs to get laid. Can you drive them to like a massage parlor and, you know, just, I mean, hey, I'm trying to stop a mass shooting here. In 2 weeks, this guy could pop off.
No, hey.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Instead of like a red, hate, instead of a red flag alarm where they come take a gun away from a crazy person, that crazy person might just literally get laid and just needs. I mean, we might have stopped some of these if we had a what would you call that law? Red flag law
or pegging for peace?
Something like that. That's my red flag law that I would support. Shit. I know. There's got to be members of the audience that support that one. I see it working, dude. I guarantee you. We implement my version of red flag laws.
Oh my gosh.
We would have less mass shootings. Depression would just be like solved in America just magically.
So you're saying that the way to solve that issue and to prevent any types of violence in our country is to hire seasonal workers legally to give... upon on call.
Seasonal, and I mean, you would want them, particularly if it is swelling. I'm just telling you right now, Elijah. I'm just like, how are you still thick? I thought socialism was starving you. There's something different in the water over there, dude.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's like, bro, you trekked over those mountains. I need to trek over your mountains. You know what I'm saying? What's going on there? It's true. They're very attractive women. It's true.
I'm waiting for a politician. Like, we need a politician. We need legislation where we need to bring these Venezuelan women. They need to be saved. How can we never have any visa programs for them? Huh?
And they said we need more Hispanics in government. You see their solutions? Are you still on board?
I think so. I think my whites can get on board. Like, white working class men want more Venezuelans. That's just true.
Now I know why.
Black men love Venezuelans, so you get the black vote.
You're just voting Hispanic because you're horny. That's what people are doing. They all just want free hand. Dude, that's not a bad platform.
It's not
like
a bad platform.
I'm gonna legalize free hand.
Desai supports me. He knows that. Supports me on this. She knows it makes sense.
Make sure you timestamp that because you gotta bleep gay Tupac's name. Oh, yeah. Where are we in the script?
Yeah, we went off.
And this is me and Jorge with no Don Julio.
Yeah. This is nothing, dude.
This is just me and Jorge.
This is recovery. Me and Elijah are literally recovering right now.
I'm like sweating out agave. My whole body's dying. I'm like literally dead. Okay, so police made a public statement about this though. Let's go and let's watch video number one.
During the attack, Primo was dressed in woman's clothing, and investigators do believe he did this to conceal his facial tattoos and his identity and help him during the escape with the other people who were fleeing the chaos. During the attack, we believe that Primo fired more than 70 rounds from this rifle into the crowd of innocent people.
Okay. So I love how it's like, oh, he wore clothes to conceal his identity. Isn't that what all cross-dressing transsexuals do? It's like they're literally just trying to hide
their
identity.
That's the worst excuse ever. I
never heard of that.
Yeah, I've never heard of that. Get out of here. I don't believe it. I'm not buying it.
Yeah, I know, but it's like, I think it's obnoxious. Like if they were wearing like a patriotic, you know, a MAGA hat or like anything resembling that, like instantly they'd be labeled a domestic terrorist, right? It's like, oh my gosh, this is Trump terrorism, but we don't label it transsexual terrorism when they cross-dressed and committed a murder. But it's like, yeah, if they were wearing a Trump 2020 t-shirt and did this, immediately it should be Trump-induced white nationalist domestic terrorists. Like that, you know what I'm going with this? Even if they weren't white, they'd be a black white supremacist.
But the thing is, that's also the problem with society in America is like, you know, back in the day, if someone was cross-dressing, you'd be like, hey man, are you all right? Like we would say like, hey, something's just not, something is not right up there, right? They're confused. But now if you see someone cross-dressing, it's completely normal in American society, right?
They gave him a pass because he was trying to hide out.
Yeah.
What if he was wearing a Trump hat just so that he would be blend in Kentucky, like you said, in a little white town or whatever. Yeah. I mean, you don't know. I just think it's kind of a weird thing. Because, like, I mean, it's like, yeah, it's just weird. It's just a very strange thing. And I don't know how they think a man dressed in women's clothing would be hiding himself. I feel like it would make you stand out. Like, I've always said this about Transgender Awareness Month or whatever it's called, or Awareness Day. We've always been aware of you. You're very visible. And it's clear.
Yeah.
You've been around. We see you.
We see you, man.
Laverne Cox.
Yeah, we see this, you know.
We see you.
We see this, what we look like. We think it's a chick with long hair. Then you turn around and then we see those shoulders like, oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like when you bag a 10 in Thailand and then your night ends with a boing.
Oh, good gosh. I'm never going there, dude. Gosh.
I know, dude. Me lady boy. But, dude, that's why I'm saying no free hand jobs in Thailand.
Yeah, no, not in Thailand. Not in Thailand. We're celibate in Thailand.
No, yeah, I know. I know. We are celibate. We are celibate in Thailand always. I do want to say this though, that, you know, if you want to read more, don't forget to go to that story by the Post-Millennial. It is quite interesting. And I do want to give a huge shout out to something that you actually can control. So many of you guys know in the world, the rates have gone up on everything. And it's important that right now, the one thing you have control over is your actual credit score, because your credit score is so important, because it can actually lower your rate even if the feds have hiked them, in terms of making sure you get the best rate possible. That's amazing fact, because you can actually pay tons of money, thousands of dollars more on a car loan, tens to hundreds of thousands more on a home loan, just because you didn't have a good credit score when you applied. And many of you guys wonder, well, why do I want a credit score? Unfortunately, you have to even rent a house, and it can help you lock in a place. When you go to ScoreMaster, and if you just wait just a few days or 3 weeks, you can raise dozens of points on your score today, which is amazing. If you go to scoremaster.com/offense, that's ScoreMaster.com/OFF. ENSE, scoremaster.com/offense, you can raise so many points. Now, I know a lot of people get up 61 points or even more. When I had a bad rate, a bad credit score, it was really hard, but ScoreMaster helps you to fix it. And they also have credit monitoring system so that you don't actually get as a victim of fraud. Maybe you have other issues on your credit score and you can actually start to fix them and work on them. And you can quickly add more points to your credit score. See how much you can actually add today. Go to scoremaster.com/offense. That's ScoreMaster, ScoreMaster.com/offense. That's ScoreMaster.com/offense. Check it out today. So we had that. Also, what happened too is, you know, people talked about the shooting. This is only an American problem, but I don't know if people saw this. This is not funny, but Copenhagen. I totally, in the last episode, got something completely wrong. I think they said it was Danish people, and I said it was, I got the country wrong. What did I get wrong? Does anybody know? I think it's a Denmark. I got the whole country wrong. I'm an American. Geography is not my strong point. But Copenhagen. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, the Danish. Okay, Denmark. Okay, great. Because I think I got the Netherlands wrong or something crazy. I don't know what I did wrong. But there's a mass shooting in Copenhagen despite strict gun laws. Okay, so they have some of the strictest gun laws in the world, apparently. But if you go down, there was a mass shooting at a mall. This is from the Blaze News reports. An unidentified 22-year-old suspect has been arrested and admitted to a psychiatric facility after he allegedly fired off several rounds of a gun at a shopping mall in Copenhagen, Denmark, reportedly killing three and wounding seven others. The type of gun used in the attack has not yet been released. Reporters say the shooter, whose name police say have been sealed by a Danish court, but who have been described as an ethnic Dane. I like how that's how they say white.
Ethnic Dane.
He's a white guy. All right.
Well, I wanted to say too, Elijah, with these reports, this happens in Denmark, Sweden, and Switzerland, is anytime crimes are committed, they want to protect the identity and race, because they don't want the whole racism thing, because these countries are letting in massive amounts of immigration from Somalia, those African countries. And so you have these populations from these Arab countries, like Middle East as well, coming into these countries and starting up kind of this violence, the street gangs. We're kind of seeing the no-go zones in Sweden. But a lot of their media won't give out the race because, you know, they don't want to get it. But at least this is what they did, right? Because he's ethnic Dane, he's white.
No, but they have, okay. they do say when they're white, though. That's yeah, the I know, that's they what always saying. Clarify.
When they're white, it's fine.
So here's what's ethnic crazy. It's like, I think it was Norway that just had the big mass shooting as well, right? Was it Sweden or Norway that just had the big mass shooting about a couple weeks ago?
Might have been Sweden.
So it was one of the Nordic countries, but they had the mass shooting, and I noticed that none of the reports had the race of the shooter. So then, and they said it was a Norwegian man. They kept saying a Norwegian man. So anytime they use the country, like an American, right? Like when they say a British man attacked a mosque, and his name's like Al-Muhab Al-Bukhari, you know, like a very classic British name, you know, 16th century King Al-Bukhari or whatever, you know, like we, thank you. But then of course they clarified, they didn't want to say, they said that he's a Norwegian man. I go down further, keep looking, right. looking. And it's like, oh, he was originally from Iran. I'm like, okay.
There you go.
There we go. It's like these people in your countries, you really, realize you're already gonna have violence, like you're seeing here, like this ethnic Dane. You're already gonna have violence. You have to realize people are unstable. You can't really blend certain cultures together. We have different ways to do things. That's why you travel to experience other cultures. That doesn't mean that like other people of a certain race cannot come into a country or whatever. There are people who, like, let's say like immigration, they want to come into a nation because they like that culture better and they want to adopt that culture.
Right.
It's like, okay, I do understand that. But now immigration is about, we are required to basically be like the handouts, the West is, for the rest of the world. And that it's like, we are required in an immigration, you know, in a war in Syria, we need to take in a certain amount of people. But it's like, we don't need to. We're not required to. And it actually destroys the peace and the fabric of our nation. That's what they want, though. They want a globalist, non-culturally specific, ambiguously racial society where there's no central point of religion or race. race or any type of language. It's just this hodgepodge. So there's no national identity. Because you don't have a national identity, then you can strip the history. When you strip the history, you can reshape the future. And so it's like, you know, you just look at a lot of these, a lot of the violence. I mean, Sweden went from being one of the safest countries in the world to once they let in whatever, a million people, they're one of the most dangerous countries in the world now in terms of rape.
And Sweden is one of the more gender neutral countries in the world. So you have this culture who's very gender neutral. Then you start inviting all these Somalis and Middle Eastern migrants who don't even look at women as like citizens. They look at women almost like an animal, like a piece of property. So that just doesn't work. So then you see, you have all these Sweden women now getting sexually, they're getting sexually assaulted and raped in crazy amount of numbers. Obviously, I'm reporting at the border, so I post all the border stuff, and I get a lot of followings and comments from people who are in Japan, dude. People in Japan laugh at us. Because they're like, look at you guys just destroying your national security every single day. And then you want to tell Japan what to do when it comes to national security. So I talk to a lot of people in Japan, and they're, you know, if you talk to anyone in Japan, whether they're left or right, they're pretty hardline on immigration. I think Japan lets in like 12 legal immigrants per year.
Yeah, I liked I read this one thing that was like, racism is the only thing, the only country that talks about racism is in America. Every other country, racism is their culture. Like, it's like, literally, like, you, dude, when I was in Korea, some establishments didn't let me in. They didn't allow white people in the establishments, in the bars and stuff like that, and they didn't want any foreigners. I've traveled. They don't like, not because I'm white, they just don't like foreigners. Even Japan, yeah. You know, like, I was Japan, landlords won't give you, it's not a law, but the landlords won't lease you, if you're a foreigner, they won't lease you a building. They only do nationals. Like, it's a part of their culture. And over here, we're actually the most welcoming country in the world. We're the least racist nation in the entire world. Like, try to become a citizen of Switzerland. Luxembourg. Yeah, yeah. They're not going to, you can't go, if you can't even get in. Dude, you can't even visit.
That's embarrassing, bro. Look how that's their culture. You know what's our culture? Like, our American farmers, yes, sell off all that land to these Chinese buyers. That's our culture, dude. We're just importing it out to everyone else. Our culture is literally becoming just corporations. It's Amazon. It's all these powerful corporations that put their interests before the American workers. They see themselves as multinational companies. So they don't even put American workers first anymore. And we've allowed it, man. We've allowed it ever since 2008 when the Republicans and Democrats agreed to ship off all of our jobs and the NAFTA deal. And ever since then, we've become this kind of country of corporations. We're losing our culture with all these mass migration. No other country in the world has done what we're doing right now with mass migration. Why do we have to be the first ones in history to test it out? It's never worked before. And anytime I even think about the amount of migrant encounters, I mean, I think since Joe Biden, since Joe Biden and Kamala have been in office till now, we've already had 3.5 million illegal immigrants cross illegally into the country. And the thing is, we apprehend and then we release inside the United States. I believe in this fiscal year, since October, we have over 440,000 gotaways. Those are the migrants that don't want to be apprehended. They've already committed crimes in the U.S. or they're running drugs or have already committed sex crimes. And then are in this country. No other country has done this before, dude. And we are like, why do we have to be the first ones to do this? The empire is set to collapse. There's no other countries have done this or will even test it.
Well, yeah. And
good for them.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Good for them. And then over here, it's like funny too, because then racism here is funny to me that like it's always things that are not actually racist. Like the racism here is always just like implied microaggression, like things that's like, dude, if you go to any other country, there's no country more welcoming to foreigners in the entire world than the United States to our own, to our own pain. Like, right. It's like, it's not healthy. In fact, we don't know who we are. When you don't know who you are, that's a huge problem. And that's when you allow corporations and people to sell you out because you don't understand that, like, you don't want foreigners owning your, you know, like they, like, I think the biggest, owner of even pork production is China. Yeah. You don't want foreign countries owning your means of production. And more importantly, this is what people don't get. It's like, why is there a supply chain issue? It's Biden's fault. No, it's your fucking fault because you allowed them to ship manufacturing out to other nations. We wouldn't have supply chain issues. Do you know the biggest growth right now, other than rental properties, in terms of property acquisition and building, is commercial? Because there's a big push where a lot of companies are being forced. This is what's funny. They don't care about America, but because of the supply chain issues, Shanghai shutting down for whatever, 10 weeks or what, and whatnot, and breaking the backlog in the Port Authority of Los Angeles, they're being forced to start up manufacturing here. This is why Tesla, this is why Amazon, people are starting to build these massive factories everywhere because it's like you can't expect the products to come from China anymore timely, and it disrupts the business. Mm-hmm. So the biggest push, and all CEOs are moving towards this supply chain focus on bringing it back. And it's like, well, dude, the reason why we're broken down is because we decided to rely on other countries to make our products. Then they're shittier. Then they, right now, they cost more because of the shipping, because of gas and fuel, when we could have just been producing domestically. It's like, I mean, think about this. Almost all of our oil, 95% of our oil, we produce domestically. I think we are the largest producer of oil in the world, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure. And it's like, nobody talks about that. Our oil shouldn't be high prices. Like, oh, well, the companies are setting the prices. Yeah, and you should be fucking mad at the companies for doing that, because they're just competing on the world. It's like, oh, OPEC and stuff. It doesn't even matter. I think we only like 1 or 3% or something like that of our oil from Saudi Arabia. It's not even a lot. People don't even know that. Everyone thinks we get our oil from Saudi Arabia. We don't. We get it from American companies, and we get it domestically. But we have to pay at premium prices because the companies hate us. And it's like, they're like, why is it expensive everywhere? Well, it's expensive everywhere because they don't produce their own oil. It's not supposed to be expensive here because we produce our own oil. Why do you think ARCO AMPM is always cheaper? It's because it's domestically produced oil. Like, it's like, and it just is. It's like, what, isn't it from Alaska? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, there's a tweet from the president of El Salvador, Nayib Bukele, who was tweeting about America and kind of, you know, our economy, the inflation, the mass migration. And he says, it almost seems like, you know, you guys are the world's most powerful country in the world, but it seems like the enemy is coming from within. And right there, I mean, I think he was speaking to a lot of truth. Nayib Bukele is very against the Biden administration and what they're doing. Actually, Biden's immigration policies hurt El Salvador because since he has a kind of an open border policy, it basically empowers all the cartels and human smugglers, even in a country like El Salvador. So they, you know, if you guys haven't yet checked it out, last month there was a Summit of Americas in Los Angeles. So that's when all the presidents from North America, Canada, Central, South, they all come in, they meet, and obviously discuss the global issues impacting those countries. So President Biden goes, and he personally invited President AMLO of Mexico, Bukele of El Salvador, and President of Honduras and Guatemala. All those countries rejected the invitation because of the policy that Biden created, and basically destroying their countries with this mass migration and basically empowering cartels. It's embarrassing what's happening, man. No other country in the world is letting this happen. My mom is from El Salvador, so actually like a month ago she went to El Salvador. She bought like 3 months worth of baby formula for a bunch of our family back in California. But think about that. My mom flew to what many people consider here in America, third world country, to get baby formula to bring back because the world's richest country can't supply for America.
Well, yeah, and listen to this, and I'm not the only one who talks about this. I've explained many times before that a German soldier and an American soldier in World War II have more in common with each other than an American soldier during World War II has with an American today. Meaning, it's absolutely insane. And you know that right now, that it's been proven that a millennial or Gen Z in America has more in common with a Gen Z in China than they do with a Gen X in America in terms of just similarities. And that's why we're losing our culture, our societies. They're starting to blend it in this homogenous, you know, idea. That's why they're intentionally even trying to take American stores and move them into all the other countries. So it's the same stores everywhere you go, same clothing. And an army vet actually broke down about this, and he explained this. Let's watch video number 3.
And nowadays, I am so upset that the things we did and the things we fought for and the boys that died for it, it's all gone down the drain. Our country's gone to hell in a handbasket. We haven't got the country we had when I was raised, not at all. Nobody will have the fun I had. Nobody will have the opportunity I had. It's just not the same. And then nowadays.
That was tough.
That was heartbreaking,
and,
right?
And he's right. When you first hear that, what I think about is my personal kind of like family, but the state. And what I mean by that is the middle class life in America. I can't speak for every single state because I'm from California, so especially this is real for me. But the middle class life has been absolutely destroyed by the very top. Like in California, you're literally seeing the Latin American economy where you have the very rich, you have your movie stars, you have your politicians in Sacramento, then the rest of us are fighting for the scraps, and the very poor, I mean, they're getting everything on hand.
It's like South Africa.
And our middle class is getting crushed. My dad was an immigrant from El Salvador, sixth grade education, by 25 years old, owned 2 cars in a middle class home in Downey, California. His income could support my mom staying home with me, my brother, and my sister. So the kids get to stay home, mom stays home, dad works one job. Fast forward that today, I don't know any mom that could stay home in California. The mom now works 2 jobs. The dad still has to work a full-time job. And the kids don't have the mom at home anymore. And that family structure is beginning to break. We especially saw that, we just said it right now, Elijah, 2008 with NAFTA. After those manufacturing jobs left, all those families that like in Detroit, Michigan, where like the dad could just work, he could pay his kids college, mom stays home. That is destroyed. And I really think that's what one of the, I mean, I know he's referring to a lot, but I really think the whole family structure, middle class structure, the dad on a one income, mom could stay home with the kids, that life in America is over.
Yeah, it's literally. So I was talking. Like it's the house that I live in now. Like 2018, 2019, it was like under $500,000, and now it's worth like over a million.
Jeez, yeah.
And in like 3 years, the house price doubled. Like you went, like it's okay, already $500,000. If you think about that in terms of life, that still would be, that's a lot of money. And that's a huge responsibility to commit to buying a home for that kind of cash. And so it's like I look at it and it's like, this is not worth $1 million. Like it's actually not worth it. I'm being honest. It's literally just not worth $1 million in Texas. And you look at it and you go, damn, this is really crazy, because this was literally, your mortgage would have been half, actually less, because your interest rate would have been lower. So your mortgage would have been literally half to like maybe 30% less. So maybe it would have been like $2,100 if you bought the house 3 years ago. And now it's like $4,800 a month if you buy it today. More than that, even if you put like 3 or 5% down, if you don't put 20, you're probably paying like $5,500 or $5,000 a month. So it's like, yeah, who's paying that? Who's able to pay that? Who's able to pay it? Corporations and the super wealthy who start to buy up the homes, and then it becomes a renter society, and then nobody owns anything. Now you have no generational wealth. Two generations down the line, there's no acquisition or handing down a property. You've created an extremely poor lower middle class to poor class. You've pushed out essentially 20 or 30% of the population out of the middle class into subservient living. That's the technocratic feudalism that we're moving into. But it's like we don't have a heart. It is because we've left God, and we don't have a heart, and we don't respect anything. Like, I mean, I want to talk about this. Like, you were, I'm going to skip just out of the video about the gun saves lives because of the violence. I mean, you can keep this in the show, but just because of the violence, I don't think I want to show that, because I think that might get us a strike for violence. But it was essentially a video saying, like, you know, we're attacking guns, and it was a video of a girl about to be killed by this black man in a restaurant, and luckily the owner had a gun and pulled
video.
It out and
saved
her life, right? And so they don't want us to have guns. I just don't want to put it on YouTube because it's a little too graphic, but they don't want us to have guns because they don't want us to protect ourselves. They don't want us to have property because they don't want us to have dignity. It's about reducing the dignification of what God made, not allowing us. Their cities are ugly. I mean, it's just true. They don't love beauty. They hate it, and it's about hating beauty. It's about hating independence. It's about hating rights and liberty. It's about defying God. And you know, one of the things that I was going to say is, like, exactly, our government is just was just given Supreme Court favor to strike down the Remain in Mexico. Yep. What is it? Title?
The Title 42 got to stay. That was through a federal judge in Louisiana. But the Remain in Mexico, Supreme Court has now basically given the Biden administration the green light to finally end that protocol, which was really a key policy during the Trump administration that really curbed illegal immigration. So basically, that kind of puts yourself in the mind of a migrant, right? Let's say you're in Honduras or whatever, and you pay. You know, for them, they thought, well, okay, well, why would I pay a human smuggler or cartel all this money, then take the big risk of the journey and going through all this, only to then cross into U.S. for the Trump administration to tell me to remain in Mexico until my court case. So for migrants, the risk wasn't worth it anymore. So that's why you saw illegal immigration just got cut. And for migrants who were doing it, you know, under the Obama administration, they crossed illegally in the U.S., and then Obama would basically release you in America with the court date. Trump says, we're not going to be releasing inside the U.S., you'll have to remain in Mexico, which sometimes for some migrants, waiting in a Mexican border town is actually more dangerous than the Central American country that they're from. So that ruling was really crucial. Now, look, even with Remain in Mexico staying in place, the Biden administration was barely even using it. But when you speak to Border Patrol down there and law enforcement, they feel like they need any tool they can, because they're basically getting ran over. Morale for Border Patrol is as low as I ever seen it. These guys basically are losing on all fronts. They have no help from anyone. They don't have no support from the Biden administration. Secretary Mayorkas, I mean, it doesn't help these guys at all. I mean, it's a losing battle down there, man, when you're at the border and just looking at Border Patrol's frustration every day.
No, it is. And if you go to my screen, GT, Gay Tupac here, make sure you follow George Ventura for live updates on Twitter. Do you post them anywhere else? Instagram anywhere?
Yeah, Twitter's a big one because we're breaking news there. And then on Instagram, it's just Jorge Ventura TV. You'll have full stories, updates on Instagram.
Can you spell out both your handles for the people that are just audio only, our blind viewers?
Yeah, it'll be J-O-R-G-E, Jorge, and then lastly, Ventura, V-E-N-T-U-R-A. Put that together. And then for Twitter, it'll be Jorge Ventura Media. That's Twitter. Then on Insta, it's Jorge Ventura TV. Then we have all those updates, which you guys just put up there.
What's going on here? Because this is what I'm saying. We're heartless. Like, this is going on every day.
Oh, yeah.
And they're promoting more of this. It says here, a 5-year-old boy from Guatemala was abandoned by a human smuggler in Mexicali. Tell me what happened.
Yeah, so this little boy here, I was reporting in Yuma, Arizona, and this little boy caught my attention because he looked like he was dead on this rock, right? It was like 6 in the morning. He's already been there for about 7 hours waiting for Border Patrol to begin the apprehension process. But Border Patrol was so overwhelmed by so many migrants, the kid was just laying there. So I speak to two women who tell me, hey, this little boy, we actually found him in Mexicali, like on the floor, abandoned by a human smuggler that his mom paid. And he was just abandoned. So we basically picked him up. He had no clothes, is what they told me. So they put clothes on him. And then they cross him into Yuma with them. And then the little boy, we have another video of it. But if you put it, we pulled up his sleeves, and he had a number on his left arm and another number on his right arm. I mean, it looked like the Sharpie was kind of fresh. But
we have that video?
We had two phone numbers.
I'm gonna go to your page right now. While keep talking. I'm gonna find it.
We had two phone numbers, and this little boy was completely abandoned. The Yuma Border Patrol sector, they picked him up. They processed him there. But the reason why I wanted to highlight that story is because that happens every single day and night at the southern border. It's just that there's not always a reporter there to get it out on video and camera. I mean, we just happened to be there from constantly reporting in Yuma, and we wanted to highlight that story. And then I think after we posted that, like 3 or 4 days later is when a San Antonio story broke out of those 53 migrants dying in that semi-truck of just dying in that heat from crossing in. But those type of stories are getting highlighted every single day. And the Biden administration just doesn't want to solve the immigration problem. I just don't see why there's no urgency. I mean, the Democratic Party wants to be like, hey, we're the black and browns. You know, we support black and brown people. We support black and brown people. Well, the people who are getting human trafficked and sex trafficked and getting banded are majority black and brown people, but they're nowhere to be found. And the consequences, Elijah, is back when the Democratic Party, we're seeing that. South Texas, 2016, all those borderline counties all went to Hillary Clinton. It wasn't even close. Fast forward to 2020, every county on that border of South Texas swung to Trump. Myra Flores just flipped the seat. That went Republican, first time in over 100 years in a community that's like 85% Hispanic. Because the people down there, when they see the border and they see the Democrats are not there to meet them, to address their needs, they're going to vote the other way. So we're seeing. So Myra Flores, historical win. Watch out for her. She has another re-election in November. Another Latina running as a Republican. Cassie Garcia, South Texas. Monica De La Cruz, another Latina Republican, South Texas. The city of McAllen last year voted in their very first Republican mayor in McAllen history. And he's a Hispanic. Javier Villalobos. So we're seeing this Hispanic movement shift to the, starts to shift to the GOP off the issue of immigration. Obviously, there's other issues as well. But for those towns, immigration is number one.
No, it's true. And I mean, you're putting in the work. If we can play video six, we don't need to put any sound on it. But if we can get it just up on the screen, I mean, you're literally in over your head.
So right here, Elijah, you're crazy.
You're crossing the border with the immigrants?
Yeah, so right here, Elijah, what we do is we go to the Mexican side and then we start to follow the migrant caravans into the water and then we'll literally cross with them. Now, I personally won't like touch the Texas sand because if I do from the Mexican side, it's I'll be committing a federal crime. So, but what we'll do is we'll go in the river. I mean, there's no other reporters that go in the Rio Grande River. And let me remind folks, this same river that you're seeing us crossing, about 2 months ago, a Texas National Guardsman drowned trying to save two migrants in that same river. The currents are that strong. Unfortunately, for that Texas National Guardsman, it came out that the two migrants that he was trying to save ended up actually being two drug smugglers into the United States. But that's happening every single day. The cartels are banking in. And look at the thing that I've been trying to highlight lately, Elijah, in this past month, is the amount of single men. See, last year, you're always running into men crossing in with families or the fake families, right, to get increase their chances of getting released in the U.S. I'm seeing a bunch of single men now without even families. Single men coming in by the hundreds. Right here, it's around 6 p.m. in Texas. But in Yuma, there's hundreds of men crossing in the middle of the night. Right. And I'm not talking about men from Northern Triangle countries, from Lebanon, India, Afghanistan, Russia, all over the world.
What, dude, I gotta get, I always say this, but I need to go down there. I need to get in the water with you. I need to go see what's really going on because I'm gonna be honest. I haven't been looking at what's been going on. I've been using your reporting and, you know, I've been relying on you to you know, you and Julio, I know Drew's been down there a little bit as well. And I've been relying on your report, but you've been very faithful in continuing to do that. And I think it's really crazy is that you've only been reporting for a few years, but Bill Malusian is actually very good as well. He's got a little more resources than you though.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got a little more money.
He's got the Fox money. Hey, Danny Collar, help him out. Send him out to Cash App people. It's like, I'll see that on the board. You're like, yo, anybody like my reporting? What's up guys? Support me.
Yes. Yeah, you got to
support.
It's all.
You got to support him. Send him a couple dollars every once in a while. He doesn't even ask for it, but send Jorge a dollar. Where can people send you a dollar, Jorge?
Honestly, if you guys go on my Instagram at Jorge Ventura TV, just click the link in the bio. We got, you know, Cash App, Venmo,
whatever
is easier. But hey, look, it goes back, guys, to, you know, helps us stay on the ground. And we just got done with a 15-day border trip that started off in Yuma, Douglas. We went to Eagle Pass, Del Rio, McAllen, La Jolla, Roma, Texas. So we're really hitting it all over. And the thing is, when we're down there, we're also trying to emphasize that, you know, what the cartels are doing is very coordinated, right? They get these big groups. They overwhelm Border Patrol. And when Border Patrol on the U.S. side is overwhelmed, that's when the fentanyl and the hard drugs start to come into the country. So for a lot of Americans who maybe live in, like, another state, who say, hey, you know what? I don't live in Arizona. I don't live in Texas. What's happening at the border doesn't affect me. It's not true. The amount of fentanyl that's coming in the country right now, the number one killer for Americans age 18 to 45, fentanyl. The number one state impacted by fentanyl, state of Ohio. Not even near the border. Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Michigan are seeing it. The reason why you don't see mainstream media talk about the fentanyl and the working class is because it's impacting the white working class the most. And any issues that impact white working class, mainstream media is not going to talk about. Ohio right now, the white working class is getting hit so hard by fentanyl that they can't, like, for the orphans, that, like, so it's for the kids whose parents died off fentanyl. There's so many orphan kids from these deaths, they don't have enough foster parents to even adopt all the kids in Ohio right now. So if you're looking at this and say, oh, what's happening at the border? Yeah, that's a South Texas problem. Nope, it's coming to you. The fentanyl, the amount of cartel members and criminals, the gotaways, the sex crime guys that are making our way in. Bill Malugin just did a great report. This year alone, we've already had 50 men who are on the terror watch list cross illegally through the southern border. And I think in the past 4 years of, like, when we had Trump in office, it only, like, even all those years,
dude,
combined.
I'm thinking,
50.
Praise God that it's not more. Like,
yeah.
That's how bad the country is. I'm, like, still a black belt. And I'm like, wow, at least it wasn't 100. Yeah. You know, at least we only let 50 terrorists in to commit transsexual terrorism. But,
yeah, it's a huge issue down there, Elijah. It's such a huge issue down there.
And we're going to talk a little more about this because I think you confronted Greg Abbott, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about that. But guys, I got to tell you this. Okay, I actually am always on the go, and he knows because he travels. You've got to have a good bag, a quality bag. If you're like me and you don't know what the point of having a nice everyday laptop bag or something to carry your stuff, you just are not living in the reality. Because if you're a real man and you actually travel, you know that these backpacks, they break, they get destroyed, they're cheaply made, and they're designed to fail. They literally are just cheap stuff sent over, which is why I've discovered a brand that's actually perfect for my slightly offensive audience. I wanted a bag that I would wear, I would use, and hold every day. And I was waiting to find the right company, and it's called Nutsack. Now, obviously, it's weird talking to you about my Nutsack, but not this one. This is the right one that's designed to carry the things that matter to you the most. It's manufactured with the highest quality, and it's American-made gear, which is, like, you got to get one of these, Jorge. They're actually freaking awesome. They have so many different types of bags. They're amazing.
Yeah,
it's American-made. These guys have, you know, most guys have stuff they carry with them on a daily basis, keys, phone, wallet, and laptop. I don't like putting this stuff in my pockets. I hate stuff in my pockets. Some of you actually may even pack some heat. You know what I'm saying? And you need to leave that room in your pants. But Nutsack will actually take that off you. They offer non-tactical looking bags that come in a variety of comfortable sizes and styles, so you can put all your everyday carry-on in a bag like an adult. Like, you know what I mean? Like, don't have this, like, cheap little bag. Actually find something that matters, that holds the stuff that's important to you. It's like a custom suit for your gear, honestly, and it adds class. You walk in with a nice bag anywhere, people, it looks good. Each bag is American made with premium materials like waxed canvas and leather, and the hardware is incredible, and they back their products with a lifetime guarantee, literally a lifetime. So go to nutsack.com, nutsack.com, so that's nutsack.com. I don't know why it's spelled out like that. Go to nutsack.com, nutsack.com, and pick up the best everyday gear that you will use. Use a promo code OFFENSIVE, get $10 off plus free shipping with a purchase of $100 or more. Grown men need grown-up gear, and nothing says you have it together like a Nutsack. Nutsack.com. That's nutsack.com, promo code OFFENSIVE. And actually, I have my wallet right here. This is my Nutsack wallet sitting on my desk. So I would pick up a wallet. Even if you don't want to buy the bag, go pick up a wallet. They're really nice. Look at this.
I'm putting my tamales in that Nutsack, man.
All right, let's look at this. So you confronted Greg Abbott. And we're not confronting him, but you asked him a question, and let's see how it went. Let's play video number 4.
Governor, back in April, you signed 4 agreements with 4 Mexican state governors on a goal to slow down the illegal drugs and the illegal crossings. It has not happened, especially in this sector. We already had 5-day span here where there more than 7,000 migrants were encountered. We've actually been following these migrant caravans from Monterey to Aviendas here to Pedras Negras, and they're crossing by the hundreds. What are you doing to hold the Mexican state governors accountable for not obeying the agreement you made with them?
The accountability may come soon. But we've been in discussion with our bordering neighbors about what they're doing. I will tell you this. Obviously, the state right across the border is Coahuila. And you talked about the numbers in Coahuila. The governor of Coahuila is doing a lot, maybe as much as anybody, to disband the caravans, to thwart people who would otherwise come across the border. His challenge is the same as my challenge.
and that's the president of his country. And as long as AMLO is advancing this and aiding this effort, it's hard for a governor to be able to stop it.
Yeah, dude, you went from selling tamales on the street to talking to one of America's governors of the one of the biggest states in the country. I mean, were you satisfied? Are you a Greg Abbott fan? Do you feel like he's being tough enough, strong enough? Do you feel like it's his job? I mean, you're down there, and people are putting a lot of blame on him, you know, in this state. Is it his fault? Is it the federal government's fault? Like, who's to blame?
I mean, it's of course it's the Biden and federal government, but at the end of the day, Greg Abbott is the governor of Texas. It's a Republican state. So he can still do a lot. The first thing that kind of we started going after Abbott at first was when he said that Texas was going to build its own border wall, which I just found that it was going to be completely impossible because 1 mile of border wall is $20 million of taxpayer dollars. So he's almost kind of sometimes puts out these statements and sayings for like maybe when a Republican voter here in this state, if they read it on the headline, it looks great. So right there, we were pressing him on the issue that, you know, Abbott made four agreements with four Mexican state governors to stop the flow of illegal crossings. We literally go into Mexico and cross with these hundreds of groups. A lot of the Mexican authorities, what they'll do is they only show up and guard the border when Abbott's there. So when Abbott's right there, like right across from us in Mexico, that's when you actually see the security. So the Mexican government is actually playing Abbott and kind of playing this game. They only show up when he shows up, and when Abbott leaves, they just leave the border completely wide open. These groups of hundreds and hundreds of migrants come in. You see me asking in that question that, you know, even this month in June in Eagle Pass, during a 5-day span, they had 7,000 illegal crossings. So it's clear that his agreements they're not working. The Mexican governors are not obeying it. So my question was more is, what are you doing to hold them accountable? He says accountability may be coming soon. You know, we'll kind of wait and see, but we'll continue to press Abbott on his efforts. You know, when you're down in South Texas, it's a mixed reaction. Some people feel like he's doing enough. Some people feel like he's not doing a lot of ranchers have been really kind of upset with his efforts, but they have Operation Lone Star right now. So you have kind of the local law enforcement working with Texas National Guardsmen down there. So they're trying to do kind of the best that they can. It's horrible. But the guy who actually gets more criticism is Doug Ducey in Arizona. People really feel like Doug Ducey isn't doing anything at all. Nah. And Carrie Lake has an interesting race against Ducey right now.
Ducey's a twat.
Well, a lot of people feel like that. So, but yeah, it's just a damn mess. Yeah, Elijah, you just gotta. Come see it one day.
I'm gonna come down. I'll beam in. Gay Tupac. I'll just beam in from a hotel. I'll do my show like remote, but I'll come down there because I need to spend a few days down there. Yeah. And I need to see what's going on. I need to embrace the soil and see the reality, because I got to support my country, and I'm really glad you do too. At this point, I want to say a huge shout out to my guest, George Ventura, Jorge Ventura, from the Daily Caller, reporter and journalist. You said a little bit earlier, but just a reminder for people who might have dozed off, where can people find you? Where can they follow you?
Yeah, so the best spots on Instagram is Jorge Ventura TV, JorgeVentura TV, then Twitter, Jorge Ventura Media. We also got a bunch of documentaries we've shot. So we just got done wrapping up another drug cartel one in Northern California. We're hoping that it should be released beginning of August, so stay tuned. But we do have Cartelville USA. That's out on all the drug cartels in Southern California deserts. That's on carteldoc.com. Check it out. And Elijah, it's always fun coming on the show.
It is. And remember, this is an audio-only podcast, which means you can become a blind viewer and join us and actually download on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you can find this. We're even on Audible. And if you leave a 5-star review, you might see it actually read on the show. And I want to remind Josiah for the future, you know, we have reviews on Google Play. We have reviews on iHeartRadio. So if you ever need extra reviews, people do leave them all over the place. But I do have a review here from I'm Offended. That's from LFJ3. I don't know what that means. Said, Mr. Schaefer and his friends have offended me to the point of thinking for myself, taking personal responsibility for my decisions and cherishing, loving, and defending my God-given freedoms. Oh, they also made me appreciate my citizenship in the United States of America. Diabolical. I know. What an evil show this is. We learn to laugh at the world as it's falling apart, and then we actually bring people in. And we really love it, and we appreciate it. Don't forget, too, if you've been watching us for a long time and you haven't made the jump to support the show at blazetv.com/Elijah, that is the direct way the show is funded. As I mentioned, we are always getting demonetized by so many different groups and people, and it's always a upwards battle. This is just common. I don't even care anymore. Like if we lose monetization somewhere, like it doesn't matter, because this is where the show is funded. And if we were ever not somewhere else, then you would support us there too. But you guys have been so good at supporting Blaze. Don't forget to support Blaze. They're a real support to us. And blazetv.com/Elijah is how we fight censorship. Make sure that you sign up there today before cancel culture gets us. And I always remind you, if the show ever gets canceled for some reason, I'll be on Alex Jones shortly after telling you where I'll be next. But huge shout out to our guest from Daily Caller. I'm Elijah Schaefer, your top 17 hero. host here at Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV. For all of us and our team to you, have a great rest of the week, and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.